If you're able, will you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? From Luke chapter 23. And it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sunlight failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now there was a centurion, saw what had taken place. He praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breast, and all his acquaintances and all the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, come now and put your word into our souls in a way that equips us, O Lord, to walk and abide with you as sons and daughters, as radically changed people. Oh, Father, help us now to grasp the magnitude of this last word that you spoke. And we pray this in the name of our great Lord and Savior. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, we have three of the seven last words. We have the first, the second, and now the final seventh. Robbie alluded to this, but has this week not been incredible for you? Have you not been once again caught up again in the awe, in the wonder, in the passion, in the suffering? Each of these noonday services, last night at the Monday Thursday service, incredible. The worship, to be able to take communion, to be able to have this sanctuary darkened and realize the gravity of the darkness of this hour. And so here we are. And here's the shocking thing. If we spent the rest of 2024 studying these seven last statements of Christ, we would finish up in December going, there's still more to take in. There's too much here. Each of those phrases hangs with it the enormity of all of the canon of Scripture, the internal work of God for us, and the character and nature and awe of our great sovereign Lord. We sing about it. We meditate on it. We chew on it, and we study it, and it goes deeper and deeper. It would fill the sanctuary with books, all the things that could be written about these seven words. Take that in. So here we are, and language fails us to understand the gravity of this moment on this Good Friday. The friction and the tension and the stress in that holy city of Jerusalem at this time is like none other. It's like a ticking time bomb. And as we look at all four Gospels, we realize, thank goodness, that there's various aspects from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that reveal what is going on. Because we need the full set of Gospels to see what's happening. Because at this exact moment in Matthew 27, when at the ninth hour, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he goes on to talk about the yielding of his spirit. That yielding of Christ's spirit is now connected with words here in Luke. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But what Luke omits next, and when Matthew does record, is a staggering. Because not only is the curtain torn in two from top to bottom, but the earth shook. The rocks were split, tombs were opened, and bodies of the saints came out and walked around in the city. You would think that alone would have convinced most to come and worship Jesus, and yet it did not. Resurrected bodies that came out from the grave and appeared to many. The dramatic, that really happened. That, and we sit here and we're in awe again of this moment. We take it all in and we pull all the gospels together to connect all these dots. Those last few weeks before Jesus died, he is fulfilling a staggering amount of messianic prophecies. Almost everything he does, he speaks and he acts, it's just one after another, fulfilling just huge passages of the Old Testament that all the prophets had longed to see, now was walking in the midst on those stones, on those roads in Jerusalem, being sold for 30 pieces, being false witnessed, being crucified with thieves, being given vinegar and gall, his clothes cast for lots of garments, the taunting, the scoffing, the wagging of the heads, every one of these. We can't imagine how the fulfillment of each one of those messianic prophecies in its sequence could even be possible. You could have 10 perfect NCAA March Madness brackets and still not come close to the odds of doing what Christ did, especially since no one has had a perfect bracket. And yet Jesus is doing this one after another. In Amos 8, it says this, "On that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight, and I will turn your feast into mourning." And that is what is happening right now in this passage. A direct fulfillment of Amos chapter 8. Incredible. Like Pete Hatton preached earlier in the week, these were the three darkest days, darkest hours, excuse me, of human history. Right here. As he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and he breathes his last, he is doing it not in defeat, but in victory. He is doing it clearly declaring he has accomplished. As Paul preached last night, it is finished. It is complete. It is fulfilled. And what Jesus is quoting here in Luke is a direct quote almost from Psalm 31. For Psalm 31 says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord." But you notice what Jesus inserts and takes out. First of all, he commits it directly to the Father in heaven, who he's been praying to and wrestling with in the garden, who's been praying to and interceding and abiding all the days of his life. So he adds the Father, but he also removes the second part, "For you have redeemed me," because he is the Redeemer. He needs no redeeming. And so therefore, when he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," he stops right there because the Redeemer is among. He is redeeming as he commits his spirit to the Father, all right there. What a Savior. But we cannot forget what is happening here when he shouts this, when he, with a loud voice, very important little word, little phrase right before the statement. Because it's not a gasp of an old, frail, defeated one. It is a clear declaration. "I commit my soul to you, O Father." It is not in defeat, but in victorious nature. It's hard to grasp the two natures of Christ, the incarnation. It's a mystery. If you can explain that to me or to someone in your family, please do, and then explain the Trinity as well, because it is too much of a mystery for us. The Belgic Confession does help in one key thing. It says here, the two natures in the person of Christ are united in one single person, yet that each nature retains its own distinct properties. Therefore, when dying, he commended into the hands of his Father was his real human spirit departing from his body. But in the meantime, the divine nature always remained united with the human, even when he lay in the grave. And the Godhead did not cease to be in him any more than it did when he was an infant. This is how we confess that he is very God and very God and very man. He had the power to conquer death, and that is indeed what he did. So with this loud voice, not a voice of frailty and defeat, but one with great commitment, the one that knew he had completed it all. It was finished, and now he commits his spirit to the Father. And when he did that, it is a shocking thing because the note Luke puts in there about the Roman centurion, something about that last statement, of the seven phrases, of the seven words he is now proclaiming and making that clear in a way that this Roman centurion had never seen before. And it shocked him. And he was caught up by this. And he was like, this is not the voice of a man dying like other men die. This is boldness that he had never seen before. Indeed, this king was righteous. And we know this to be true because this king was also the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he made it very clear in John 10 that, yes, indeed, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father loves me because I lay down my life, and then I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. He already made that clear, didn't he? He's already staggeringly reminded us he's in complete control of all these events. All the ordained events in human history are unfolding. And now we see in this last statement, he commits his spirit to the Father. The sins have been atoned for. Death has been defeated. It is finished. Yes, the devil has bruised his heel, but Jesus has crushed his head on the cross. And that victory for us, we must soak in new ways for you and for me. Let's remind each other about this victory at our deepest, darkest, lowest points. We need each other to remember that this has been defeated. It is finished, and Jesus has won. He is in complete control of this. So as we think about this last profoundly unbelievable statement, that he commits himself and he yields his spirit over, it really calls us to think, what do we commit? What are you and I going to commit unto him? What are we going to yield unto him during this Holy Week? What are we going to allow the Father full access into our darkest, most painful parts of our soul? Are there areas that we've compartmentalized and rendered a far corner away from him? Do we need to commit that to the Father? Do we need to surrender to his loving kindness in deeper ways? Do we need to stop playing games with him? Do we need to lay down our self-medicating, our addicting, our time-consuming, our overly busy, overly saturated world? Do we need to render to him more of our soul that we've been holding back? Would we walk in the footsteps of the cross and commit and yield our spirit to the Lord again in 2024? All of our compulsions, amusing ourselves to death, whatever the pain, whatever the things we need to lament, our trauma, our shame, our agony, oh, brother and sister, let us encourage every one of us to yield and to surrender anew to our Savior who modeled this all for us. What wondrous love is this? Let us pray. Oh, Father, on this Good Friday, we don't have words. We truly need to sit in silence. I do. We need a fresh wind of your Holy Spirit to blow through our lives in ways that we embrace you deeper, yield more to you, surrender to perfect love, and stand in awe of you. Come, Lord Jesus, and do that to us. We need you. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.